Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Ed Vitagliano.
And welcome back to Today's Issues. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman today. I'm joined by Fred Jackson and Ray Pritchard, Dr. Ray Pritchard. Ray, tell our listeners a little bit about Keep Believing.
Well, we're an online ministry that started on the internet. It's now spread around the world. You can come to keepbelieving.com and see our compendium of biblical resources. Right now, Ed, I'm teaching online through the book of James, three nights a week, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, taking a little section. I did the book of Daniel earlier in the summer, and it went so well. Now we're in the middle of James. So tonight, I was just in the break thinking about this. I'm teaching on James 3, how to tame the terrible tongue. And every time you do that, you first got to look in the mirror and think about yourself, you know, not anybody else. So that's 7 p.m. Central Time. You can come to it. We're doing it on Facebook Live, so you can come to Ray Pritchard personal Facebook page or Keep Believing Ministries Facebook page. This is a course I've taught around the world at Word of Life Bible Institute, but this course online is free, so that's tonight, 7 p.m., How to Tame the Terrible Tongue. Come on, join us. We'll see what happens.
Ray, I got to say that taming my tongue has been one of my great successes as a, as a Christian. Oh no, I folks, that was tongue in cheek. The book of James. Now I'll just say this: the book of James is a tough book in terms of the intensity. Yeah. I mean, there's no squishiness. It, you know, cleanse your hands. Sinners, you
right.
know, you double mind. It is a very convicting book, and taming the tongue is one of those where you go, man, Lord, am I ever going to get any of this right? But thank God for His grace. Fred, you want to jump in, because I know you're Canadian, so you never had a problem with having a you're always nice.
We're always saying we're sorry.
That's right.
And it's easy to say. I was just going to say. You know, if conservative talk radio was around when James wrote that book.
Oh, brother.
Yes.
He'd be stepping on a lot of toes right
That's
away
right.
every day.
Yeah, I think that is absolutely true. But as we said at the beginning of the show, we were getting ready to talk to Frank. It is all about our relationship with Jesus Christ. That comes before everything. And that is what we believe here at American Family Association. We are frequently accused of putting politics first. No, we on our talk radio network, we talk about politics, but we understand, just like every other Christian should, and probably most do, that the cross, the resurrection, the ascension of Jesus Christ, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit to create the church on the day of Pentecost, these things matter more than anything. It is all about the kingdom of heaven. We do want to make an impact on behalf of the kingdom here in the political world as well.
You know, and it's interesting. It's a great topic that Ray is teaching. But I often think, too, of sometimes our Lord, when he walked on this earth, he didn't spare. He didn't hold back.
Right.
Boy, he could be direct with people that, obviously, he's God in the flesh, that he knew had problem hearts.
Yes.
We'll put it that way. Bad motivations, all that sort of thing. And he did not hold back. So there is a time.
Yes.
There is a
absolutely.
Time when direct language with energy is needed.
Yeah, you brood of vipers, that comes to mind.
Yeah.
Would you
yeah.
like the Son of God to say to you and your friends, you brood of snakes, serpents?
Whited sepulchers.
White full of dead men's bones. Oh man, I'll tell you, you want to be living for Jesus, because you do not want to face the anger of the Lord. All right. Amen. Well, while we're talking, Steve Jordahl is in Studio Venus,
patiently waiting.
Patiently Steve. Waiting, Steve.
Hello,
one of our reporter for OneNewsNow.com. All right, Steve. Fred reminded me. I was drifting away from talking anymore about the Democratic Party's convention last night, but there is something else we want our listeners to understand and to hear. So, kind of interesting.
Yeah, this is great. Go ahead. You want me to take
yeah,
it?
Yeah, you go ahead. Take
okay.
it away.
So, you know, they had they had a whole bunch of Democrats piling on President Trump and the Republicans last night, as you kind of would expect from a convention. But one of the people that came on and said what a terrible job the Republican and the Trump administration is doing was Andrew Cuomo, governor of New York, who just, you know, rescued the whole country now from coronavirus, according to him. He had some not pleasant things to say about the federal government. It's interesting because I found some stuff that he had said earlier, and I wanted to play you what he said last night as opposed to what he had said earlier. This is Cut 7.
And our current federal government is dysfunctional and incompetent. It couldn't fight off the virus. In fact, it didn't even see it coming. The European virus infected the Northeast while the White House was still fixated on China. What the federal government did, working with states, was a phenomenal accomplishment. These were just extraordinary efforts and acts of mobilization. And the federal government stepped up. We needed help and they were there.
That was earlier. That was like in April, wasn't it?
That is taken from a new campaign ad that the Trump campaign put out last night, which has, we could play a little more of it if you want. It has a whole bunch of Democrats.
I want, do we have Gavin Newsom in the mix?
Yes.
So this is Cut 8.
Fact is, every time I've called the president, he's quickly gotten on the line. When we asked to get support for that mercy ship in Southern California, he was able to direct that in real time. We've got 2,000 of these field medical sites that are up, almost all operational now in the state because of his support. And those are the facts.
We are working very well with FEMA Region 2 and with the Army Corps of Engineers.
New Jersey Governor Phil
Murphy.
Building
four field hospitals. That was a decision the president himself took, and I'm grateful for it.
He said everything that I could have hoped for.
Newsom again.
And we had a very long conversation, and every single thing he said, they followed through on.
We've got to have double the number of ventilators that we requested for that area of the state. And in fact, we got them in, frankly, short order.
The president was extending support for new swabs. So conversation, commitment, promise made. Promise kept.
That was New Mexico Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham and Newsom for a third time.
Wow.
Know,
that's
right?
Now, did they play that last night during the convention, or is this just something that's playing online somewhere?
I don't know that the Democrats wouldn't have played it, but I don't.
No,
the Trump
I'm talking
campaign
about
released it.
Don't they run ads during the convention? They have commercials.
I don't know. I didn't watch. I had a choice last night between watching the convention and pulling my fingernails out with a plier. So
yes, I noticed you had bloody fingernails.
It was hard to type this morning. No, I don't know. They may run commercials, but if it's a virtual online Zoom meeting, I would think that I don't know. I know the networks covered it. I doubt that MSNBC.
Where'd you see this ad then?
It was on my Twitter feed. It's from the Trump campaign.
Oh, okay.
The Trump campaign put it out at some point last night.
That's going to be a very powerful ad as we get close to the election, because the Democrats are all in terms of their talking points. And I heard this talking point several times and in reading from other speeches as well from last night. This is a common theme, Fred. This is one of the things they're going to be saying, is that our economy is devastated because of the coronavirus. The coronavirus has hit us. 150,000 have died because of Trump's incompetence. Then you run this ad with Democratic governors praising the president way back in late March or early April. That's going to be a powerful ad.
I remember those days when Governor Cuomo was doing the daily briefings early on in all of this. And I remember him consistently saying, I've been talking with President Trump. He's all in with us. He's ready to help us. We sent that Navy ship up the coast from Norfolk that was there. And they ended up not having to use it because of all the other things that the president did, the ventilators, all of those things. He was being praised consistently by these Democrat governors. And I thought at the time, you know, the election was a piece away then, you know.
Right.
But I thought, you know what? I wonder if they're going to be sorry for all this praise at some point later in the year. And for Cuomo last night to get up there and be so critical of the president, knowing that, thank God, we have video and audio recording today to go back, and he has to live with his contradiction.
Well, Ray, we've mentioned the fact that these kinds of conventions are political. They are partisan.
Sure.
You expect that. But when earlier Chris Woodward mentioned the fact that, I don't know whether it was the AP or somebody, noting that rising stars in the Democratic Party spoke last night, I would think that Andrew Cuomo fancies himself as one of the rising stars of the Democratic Party. You get invited to speak, even if it's virtually, at the convention, you're going to toe the party line because you've got to.
Yeah, it doesn't matter what he said in April, right? People have short memories. That's a long time ago. Although that ad that Republicans were running, that's a terrific ad. They ought to just keep running it because it does expose the hypocrisy. But Cuomo, last night he gave himself, and I'm paraphrasing, he said he thinks they did a great job in New York City with the virus. Well, what about the thousands and thousands of old folks who got parked into the nursing homes and they spread, and the disease virus spread across the nursing home, and thousands of people died unnecessarily? How come he's not being held to account for that? It's a political season. I guess that's the answer.
All right, Steve, do you have anything else you want to cover from the convention? We move on.
Well,
what you got?
Well, let me just say this about conventions. The Republicans have come out and announced a couple things about their convention. Two of the people that are going to be appearing at the Republican convention, does the name Mark and Patricia McCloskey ring a bell with you?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It does not with me.
They are the two St. Louis couple that showed up in front of their houses with guns.
Oh, I
they are
now.
Going to be making an appearance at the Republican convention next
week. Now they I don't know if they're registered Democrats, but my understanding is they're very liberal people.
They were.
Yeah, they were.
Indeed.
Until they got thrown under the bus, right?
Yeah.
They got thrown under the protest bus.
Yes,
metaphorically
and they're
speaking.
Being charged by the Democrat prosecutor in St. Louis.
Yes, and
they're facing charges.
Now, was she one of those who were funded by the Soros campaign?
Yes, she just got reelected, but she's a Soros-backed prosecutor.
Yeah.
And she's going after them.
Yeah, instead of the people who broke into the gated community.
Yep.
So now that Republican convention starts this coming Monday, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Yep. So these will be back-to-back conventions and all the politics you can possibly absorb
and more.
In 2 weeks and more. Yeah,
and you can expect the media to just be as friendly with the Republicans.
Absolutely, Fred. Absolutely. I've got some Diet Dr. Pepper I could sell you that I made with my, I couldn't think of that. What's the stuff you make your own soft drinks with? What is that? That little
carbonated
gadget?
Water.
No, that gadget that you can make.
Yeah, the gadget. Yeah, what is that?
What is that thing?
Soda shot or something like
that? Yes. SodaStream?
There you go.
All right. That was just a mental glitch.
Brent will find that for us.
Brent will.
All right. I'm sorry for that.
Meanwhile, folks. Mr. Biden, should we continue?
That was just a stream of consciousness that I should not have followed. So, what is it? SodaStream. Okay, I eventually got there. All right, Steve.
Well, you know, the House of Representatives and the Senate, they open up every morning with a prayer and a Pledge of Allegiance. Well, this morning, House Majority Leader Steny Hoyer decided to lead the House in the Pledge of Allegiance. I want you to hear the Pledge of Allegiance from Steny Hoyer this morning.
The chair will lead the House in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Catch something missing there?
He left out under
what?
God?
He did.
Wow. And that was deliberate.
Absolutely that was deliberate. Folks, let me just tell you something. That is the difference in this election. I feel a preach coming on. You better, folks, you better get registered and vote. I'm not saying the Pledge of Allegiance makes a whole lot of difference, but removing God from the Pledge of Allegiance intentionally, and I have absolutely no doubt that was intentional. This is getting serious, folks. For those of you who aren't in the game, you better get in the game before it is over.
And Steny Hoyer is not one of the juniors in the Democratic Party.
He's the majority leader.
He's the majority leader. He's been in the House for years.
Yes.
So that will tell you, I believe, the influence is from the far left, even over those longtime Democrats.
I want us to play that again. Because I'm thinking some of our folks were kind of half listening. Folks, listen to where the far left wants to take this country. It is not a country that honors the God and creator of the universe.
The chair will lead the House in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible,
with liberty and justice for all.
I'm telling you, this is a Romans 1 moment, folks.
Yes.
We better get our head in the game. We better get in the Word. This is a country that applauds from the highest levels. I'm thinking the Obama administration putting the White House in rainbow colors after the decision legalizing gay marriage. We are applauding what God calls an abomination, and we are refusing to honor God. This is a Romans 1 moment. We do not want to be given over to what's coming, because this is dark, evil rebellion against God.
I tell you what, we did a story a few weeks ago about a, I think he's a former Obama advisor who's in charge of outreach to evangelicals to try to get evangelicals to vote Democrat. I hope anybody who may be listening right now heard that. This is a party in rebellion against God. How could you possibly, as an evangelical Christian, if you describe yourself as an evangelical Christian, how could you possibly be comfortable with that?
Ray, are we making too much out of nothing?
No. It's easy sometimes to say, well, you remember back in the old days, you used to say, there's not a dime's worth of difference between the two major parties. Well, there's not just a difference now, but it is a wide chasm that is vast and that is deep. The Democrats want one kind of America, and the Republicans want another. And neither one of them are perfect. We've already said that, right? There's always things to disagree with. But when Steny Hoyer left Under God out of the Pledge of Allegiance, listen to it carefully both times, because, you know, Ed, you can hear when a guy's just making a mental slip, because right. Anybody can make a, if it's not a mental slip, he left it out intentionally. That's a statement about who the Democrats are, what they stand for, and the direction they want to take the country. So if you're an evangelical Christian, why would you want to follow a political party that has decided to leave God out? You call this a Romans 1 moment. Yeah, it is. This is what happens when you turn away from God and the truth of God, and you no longer want God or his truth to be part of your society. This is what you get.
Steve, was this yesterday? When was this?
This morning.
This morning.
Yeah.
Wow.
And, well, and kind of along the same lines of what you guys are talking about, I found out of two Indiana officials, they're local officials, a town council president, his name is Mike Gruska, and a mayor of Hobart, Indiana, Brian Sneedcor. They both switched parties this week from Democrat to Republican, and they both gave the reason was the views of the Republican Party coexist with my views and my family views. Democrat Party has changed since they first joined it years ago.
Now, folks, let me just say this, because this sounds awfully partisan, but let me just tell you, this is not really an issue of Democrat and Republican anymore. This is because the Democratic Party, Harry Truman, we have read this numerous times. Harry Truman was at a convention of a state attorneys general back, I think it was in the 50s, obviously. And he actually made a speech to those state attorneys general where he said, we cannot turn away from the Ten Commandments and the Sermon on the Mount in this country. He said, if we do, we will end up in tyranny. Now, that was a Democratic president making that speech. So please understand me. Those political differences of yesteryear, they no longer exist. This is a battle for the soul of this nation, and one side of this issue is Marxist, and they are pushing a Darwinian view of humanity and a Darwinian view of human rights, and that is the political side and the ideological side that you heard represented in Steny Hoyer's decision to leave Under God, One Nation Under God, out of the Pledge of Allegiance. Maybe some of you listening thinking we're making a mountain out of a molehill, but this is the same political party in 2012 that when they were asked to vote on whether to include God in the platform, booed that suggestion. And folks, this is real. This isn't just politics. This is spiritual warfare. I hope we've made that clear. And that infuriates me, if you can't tell, what Steny Hoyer did.
Amen.
All right, Steve.
Can I put you in a little bit of a better mood?
Yeah,
and this
please.
Is going to be a weird way to do it, but you know the battle in Seattle and Portland continues. I thought, in honor of you, Ed, we'd bring back the Russia file. So Seattle, as you can tell.
Wait a second. Well, first of all, what happened to the men's choir?
That is the men's choir.
Yeah, but that's a different song.
No, it's the same song. It's just the middle of the song, the more dramatic part of the song.
All right.
Sorry, yes, we can bring back. Anyway, a couple things that happened in Seattle. It is kind of sad. We had a police officer who they found that rolled up on some protesters the other day, last week, and this is what this is the interaction between the police officer and the protesters.
You having a good day today?
Not really. You're around.
Oh, well, I'm sorry for that, but don't worry, man, because guess what? I'm leaving. You guys won. 2 months, baby. I'm out.
It was heartbreaking for me to watch. You could sense his pain, his frustration, his surrender, if you will, to these. Outside forces. He's finally to the point, and I can't blame him one bit. He's joining hundreds of other cops around the country who are just saying, I've had it. It will be anarchy. It will be violence. It will be something out of a science fiction movie after the apocalypse.
That is, I'm sorry, I could have set this up better. That's Randy Sutton, who's in charge of the Wounded Blue. I know we were kind of running out of time. A Seattle police officer who rolled up on protesters and said, are you having a good day? And the protester, cheeky, backed him and said, no, because you're here. So don't worry about that. You win.
Yeah,
I'm leaving.
He's leaving in 2 months. I read about that exchange, by the way. It's very sad because the protester showed no humanity in this exchange and started yelling to others, hey, he's leaving, but not leaving because he's sorry for being a cop. He's leaving, he's blaming us, in other words. Listen, Ray, I'm going to go to you first, and then we'll go to Fred. This is incredibly sad because this is happening all across the nation. Fine men and women in blue who, first of all, don't like the decisions their mayors are making, no support, sometimes their governors. They are getting mistreated, bottles thrown, all kinds of things happening when they're just trying to do their jobs. They're all being blamed for what was it Derek Chauvin did in Minneapolis in the case of George Floyd. All of them have been thrown into one big pot. You have the far leftists calling for the elimination of the police, defunding. Some city councils are doing that. I mean, how many more are we going to see who say it's not worth it?
Well, let me just say one thing quickly. I don't blame any of these very fine men and women who are law enforcement officers, especially in big cities like Chicago, Minneapolis, Portland, or Seattle, for saying enough is enough is enough. Because when the police do not have support, why would they risk their lives anyway, knowing that if something goes wrong, they're going to probably get arrested themselves and hauled away? God bless the men and women of the police and all the rest around the country. We need more, not less.
Yeah. All right. Fred, sorry, we'll have to get your opinion maybe tomorrow on this because we are out of time. Folks, thank you so much for listening to today's issues. You've been listening on the American Family Radio Network. More great programming directly ahead. Folks, please pray for our nation. Get on your hands and knees and beg God to revive this nation and awaken the church. We are in desperate need of it. Folks, continue listening to American Family Radio. Lord willing, we'll see you tomorrow.